What would you do if you were bitten by a monster? Does the swamp send a cold chill up your spine? Is there a curse that haunts the people of the bayou? Today we test the believability of the Rougarou.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we, as in Charlie and I, find it believable.
Yes, you almost caught by surprise by that entrance.
Oh man, I'm trying to, one of my favorite actors, that's a lie, but I like him. Kevin Corrigan. He was in Grounded for Life. He was Uncle Eddie. He was in Superbad.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And he was in, I think he was in Goodfellas.
Ooh.
But he is like one of the people that like doesn't, like he learns his lines like right before he does it. And so that it has that like loose feel. Mm. He's a very loose guy. I'm not a loose guy by any means.
Like Sean Bean had the script for Lord of the Rings.
Is that Does Not Simply?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was on his knee.
Oh no.
While they were filming it. It's because they kept rewriting it,
but I think Marlon Brando was always fed lines. But either way, what I'm saying is I'm trying to feel loose. Today is, even though this is coming out at the end of March, this is recorded early March because we're going on our little vacations. Your cruise is coming up.
Yeah. That goes right through the Bermuda Triangle.
Right through it. My New Mexico trip going through Skinwalker territory.
By the time I listen, it's like old news.
Hopefully you have a great Bermuda Triangle story. Maybe I'll have a Skinwalker story.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't want one.
But that's being said, these vacations are done. You probably heard it by now about on Beyond the Bizarre.
If you're a patron.
But let's get into the Rougarou. Up front, my sources are Pelican State of Mind, Mysterious Universe, the Supernatural Fox Sisters blog, History Channel, and of course Reddit.
Yeah, I'll be honest. We just did the Patreon quiz, so I kind of have a little bit of a beef with the Rougarou. You know, kind of don't like him.
Yeah, you don't like the fun facts about him.
No, I'm interested to see how they all get tied in. I want to know when it's important that a Rougarou starts counting.
So, firstly, what is a Rougarou? We've said it a lot already. I think I'm saying it correctly. Not being from Louisiana myself, I do not have a Cajun accent, and I do not feel qualified to impersonate it. So, Rougarou it is.
What if the right way to say it is like beignet?
I love a good beignet.
Do you love a good Rougarou?
I do if it's done correctly. It is, the word possibly comes from French, like a mispronunciation of a French word, and that word is Loup-garou, and it's literally means werewolf.
Ah, I see. So it's almost like what we're going to be talking about today. It's like a werewolf.
It is like a werewolf, but specifically in Louisiana, and that's what a Rougarou is. Now, some curse has taken over the bayou, and the legends of the Rougarou have been long told, and no one is quite sure about how the curse is spread. Either it bites somebody, there is blood magic involved, or just an evil, prolonged look.
For some reason, I'm imagining, like, it's a dark night, it's stormy, raining, you're like, you're not in the French Quarter, you're somewhere, you know, middle of nowhere, and you see the shadow behind you, and it's, like, catching up to you, and it's the Rougarou, but then, just out of nowhere, as it's about to attack, a football hits it, and then, in a lightning flash, you see Drew Brees.
Oh, no!
Or, more recently, Derek Carr. Shh. But you hated Drew Brees.
I do not like him. Not a fan. He goes, hello, I am the Rougarou. So it's impossible to talk about such a cultural mesh as the Rougarou without talking about the rich history of Louisiana. Not that long.
Are we going to talk about the Louisiana Purchase? Like, how far back are we going?
I mean, we're going to touch on it a little bit. The French settled the area in the 17th and 18th centuries, and the various indigenous people of the area were allied and rallied to fight against the European invasion. They did not win. The land was eventually for sale, to America's settlers in the 1800s, and by the 1900s, most of the indigenous people were forced to leave the area. The southern state went through many changes of occupation, but ultimately it kept its French origin and the French lore that came along with it, including this version of the werewolf. If you want more, like really in-depth history, this is not hardcore history. And Tyler, I don't want Tyler to fall asleep.
Yeah, it's for the best.
So this, it's just like a really brief dusting of history, like you would powder a beignet.
I've had beignets, dude. They're good.
Now, the features of the Rougarou. Typically, the Rougarou, like all werewolves, were human or are human most of the time, but usually some kind of astrological signal makes them shift into a monster. The Rougarou is described as being a giant humanoid-shaped beast, estimated at about 10 feet in height, covered in dark fur or white fur, having glowing red eyes and large fangs. Now, it's not like a wolf, like on the ground, all fours kind of wolf. It's kind of like a wolf beast thing. You know what I mean?
So it's like standing on two legs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a werewolf.
Well, I think of a lot of werewolves as, I can think of it like Harry Potter werewolf, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think of werewolves as being true wolves.
Mm. So they don't have abs and like standing up.
In my mind, no.
Okay.
But in this one probably is working out with the dog man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pumping that iron. I mean, it's a long time. You can hit some tasks, hit your to-do list.
Absolutely.
Gotta work off them beignets.
Now, there's also the more supernatural side of the Rougarou.
More than what we just talked about?
Yeah, because these are physical creatures, what we're talking about so far. But there's a theory that these Rougarous are more like spiritual, and they almost like phase in and out of existence, and they can shift in existence.
So is that under the assumption that they're not just turned humans? Because a human that's turned wouldn't fit that, right?
Yes. I don't know. Because everything I've seen described says it's a person turning into this thing. And then Mysterious Universe is like, wait, wait, wait. But sometimes they're ghosts.
Interesting. Because that makes it seem like it's two entirely different things, which is okay to not like know exactly where you're coming from.
Here's the thing with the Rougarou. There's going to be a lot of discrepancies.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I remember that when it comes to the believability scale.
Yeah. This creature can almost be spectral. It's said to possibly glow at night. And it's immortal when it's in this shape. And it can disappear at will. So nothing can kill it. And it can just disappear and vanish.
Well, that definitely makes it seem like the spectral aspect of it.
Yeah.
That's crazy that it can just disappear.
Most stories I've seen, actually all stories I've seen, are not that. They're more this solid thing.
The traditional, what you would expect to, like a dogman werewolf type thing.
Yeah. So there's a story from Nicholsworth website, and this is an account from Lockport. It's from a book, Werewolves on the Bayou, by Gene Cesarian, Lucas Krauss, and Donald Kurtzman. And this talks about a personal experience with the Rougarou. It goes like this.
I do want to get on here really quickly and say there is a slight suicide trigger warning before we get into these stories.
Quote, there were 10 children in the family, and all of them were up crying at night. I didn't get up for some reason. But a year or so later, one of the brothers killed himself. This boy was always vying, staying up at night, or hanging around with other boys. One night, he was walking home. He was always the last to leave. When he noticed a little white dog following him, snapping at his heels. He took out his pocket knife and cut the dog on its right foot. A Rougarou is a man who sells his soul to the devil and assumes the body of an animal. He can't be released until he is cut. This boy wasn't supposed to tell what had happened for a year and a day after he had seen the white dog turn into a man. But after it happened, he ran home and told his family. The next day, a prominent physician appeared in town with his right arm cut and in a sling. I remember when the physician shot himself here in Lockport. A year later, the boy killed himself and left a letter that the family turned over to the sheriff. Even today, he refused to let anyone see it. End quote.
So we went from these spectral big beasts to like a little yapping dog.
Yes.
A little white yapping dog.
It was white, though.
So that's true. It is one of the two colors. So wait, the Rougarou couldn't say it for a year and a day, or you were saying the boy couldn't say it for
the
a year?
Boy wasn't supposed to say it. I think that's why he killed himself.
Okay, that's interesting. I feel like that's like a story where it assumes the reader knows more than probably the average reader would about the Rougarou. So.
Yeah, there's probably more in the book also.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of the biggest problems with the Rougarou is the lack of consistency.
It has the trope that is, you know, popular with werewolves, which makes for a good story, right? Like when you injure the beast and then somebody in town has that same injury inexplicably, like it's that stuff where you latch onto as a storyteller and as somebody listening to stories for entertainment. Like you like that stuff and it's a good trope, but you know, to see it here, it's just funny that it went from like this huge beast to like this little
I know.
Yapping, like chomping at the heels.
So my next part of the story is how to fend off a Rougarou. There's undoubtedly a connection between old folklore and counting.
Make that bitch count.
Now, we have not necessarily explored this connection. Like, there's a lot with vampires, and there's a creature called a haint in the South that is obsessed with counting. However, the Rougarou falls into that semi-OCD trait. This is said to be an old way to ward off vampires and other creatures, but it's said that if you lay down 13 objects in front of the Rougarou, it will stop in its tracks and be forced to continuously count because they cannot count past 13. And they will be stuck in this cycle to go over and over and over again because there's more than 12.
I wonder
if they can't go past 12. Sorry.
Okay. I wonder how many people carry, like, what would you carry? Coins?
Pennies. Yeah.
Pennies.
Yeah.
You just carry like
Legos.
I got 13 Funko dolls in my back pocket.
They're all collectibles or Legos, right? Because you can like stack them and keep in your pocket.
That's true. You could keep like a stack. Yeah, like it's almost like a wallet of Legos. Coins would probably be the easiest though. Then you realize you spent that last one on a. You like really wanted that bubble gum from that machine.
Yeah, right.
And you were like, oh,
you forgot it was a full moon.
I'll replenish it before the next. And you look and you got, you know, 11, and you're like,
oh no. And then in the forest looms a creature.
Drew Brees.
Now, I guess it's some connection to midnight and like werewolves transforming at midnight. I think it's an old trope.
They don't know military time.
24. Or 0-100, 0-0-0-0. There are also two other ways to fend off the beast. The first is using its strange fear that the Rougarou has of frogs.
Frog legs are a thing in like New Orleans.
I've had frog legs. They're delicious.
And I feel like if you got them in your back pocket, one, it's a snack. And two, you never know when a Rougarou is going to come by and you start tossing the frog legs at them.
It's also said that if the Rougarou is touched by salt, sodium chloride, it will burst into flames.
So you got salt in one pocket, you got some coins in the other. And frog legs.
Yeah, you call you a Rougarou hunter.
Rougarou hunter, yeah. Those are if you go to Amazon, you search for a Rougarou hunter kit, that's what you're going to get.
Oh, dude, that's a good shirt. Do you walk around with like a salt bottle and coins and a frog in his back pocket?
Yeah. Or he's got like a pouch pocket, right?
Yeah.
Got a little frog peeping out the pouch in his pocket. A certified Rougarou hunter.
And I was talking to Steph, like, why might he be afraid of frogs? And then there's a big connection to the church and the Rougarou. And she said maybe it's a connection between frogs and witches.
Maybe.
That drives that fear.
When does that come into play?
The connection between the church?
Yeah.
It's coming.
So maybe the frogs are just like, and they just get scared.
Maybe.
Question.
Yes.
So you had a toad. Do you think they would know the difference?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
I don't know. I'm not risking my life to find out, but.
So let's say you accidentally do become a Rougarou.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I'm a little yappy white dog.
How do you become a human again?
Like permanently or just like waiting for the non-full moon?
Permanently again. Okay. Let's say you become a Rougarou.
Sure.
How did you get there? How did you get this curse?
Yes.
Now, some cases say that the only way to transfer The curse is through an exchange of blood.
Mm.
Now, either through biting or sucking of blood of some kind of vampiric, actually.
What about cutting your hands? Become blood brothers.
Yeah. Now, some say it's as easy to spread the curse as simply making eye contact. And the way to break this curse is, it's really easy. You don't talk about it. You don't talk about it for a year and a day. Now, this is a story from a serious universe, and it goes like this. Quote.
The Ruguru don't ask, don't tell.
Quote. One piece of folklore related to this involves a young newlywed wife who is waiting for her husband at the edge of a swamp on the night of a full moon. The woman is then confronted with a massive wolf-like creature, which locks its gaze with her before striking off into the night. The woman, knowing she has been infected with the foul beast's curse, subsequently locks herself within a shed every night on the full moon, a fact which is not noticed by her new husband, as he often works late in the night. After the year and a day has passed, the cursed woman, who has remained silent about her encounter, is asked by her husband as she has ever waited for him by the edge of the swamp in the moonlight. The wife lies and says she hasn't, after which the husband admits that he was in fact the creature she had seen and been cursed by, and that her silence on that matter has saved them both. End quote.
See, I feel like I feel like she would notice right away, and I feel like dudes are like playing Call of Duty late at night and they don't even know that she's not around. Like, I feel like it could be like less than a week and the wife would notice that he was gone, and it'd be like 2 years and she's like, you never noticed? He's like, huh? I'm like, what?
You saved us both.
You're a monster? What?
So something we haven't really got much into on this episode so far is that there's a connection between the Ruguru and the church. We talked about it in the quiz on Patreon, but there are some things that go along with the Ruguru attacking people because of their breaking Lent. Comes down to being a curse of religion, right? Because the person that is cursed by the Ruguru is cursed and banished by God. There, it's a hunting others who are also kind of hedonistic to pass a curse along to them. So, like, we also are bad, so I'm going to attack you. Does that follow?
Yeah, it's interesting that that's like, maybe you're bit. Maybe it's a spread of blood. Maybe you just don't attend church enough, you know?
It's like you can almost smell the heathenism on them.
Alcohol.
Yeah, with that little piece of information, I'd like to go on to our counters for the episode.
The Reddits. I love me some good Reddit stories.
Me too. Yeah, so these are some encounter stories we got. They're pretty crazy.
I just think about a child saying this who like hasn't quite developed their R's. And it's the woogawoo.
The woogawoo.
I'm afraid of the woogawoo.
I don't blame them. Yeah, it's not speech impediment friendly.
It's true.
Yeah.
But it is based on saying something incorrectly anyway, so.
It is.
So who cares?
Yeah, who cares? These all take place in Louisiana. And the first one goes like this. Quote. So this happened to me a few years ago. I was visiting my friend's house in the Houston River area. The section of the river is pretty swampy, so we were frog hunting at night. It was a full moon, so it made spotting the bullfrogs easier. Quote, super tasty, by the way. Anyways, we were wandering down by the riverbank when we heard a sound. It all went quiet. Not even the crickets chirped. We heard a dozen frogs dive into the water, and we knew that something was very wrong. Then came a distant growl, like something evil, from the other side of the river. We killed our cue beams and watched in the direction of the sound. What I saw chilled me to the bone. It was like a massive wolf with patchy black fur, yet no visible skin on its head. Only a skull with empty eyes. It appeared to be locked onto other prey, so we shut off our lights and watched for a moment. Looking back, it was really stupid to not flee right then. It ran back into the woods and started running down the river. We decided to dip out and get as far away as possible. End quote.
See, I think there are certainly silly things about the Ruguru, and this is why I love encounter stories so much, even some of them on Reddit that are less than believable, because it always puts you in the spot, in the mood. And it's like, do I imagine myself bullfrog hunting at midnight? No. But when you put yourself out there, swampy area, it's dark out near midnight, and you just see this beast
appear and you hear a howl.
Yeah. No, I mean, it doesn't matter what you're thinking about, what you're doing. That's scary.
Yeah.
Just terrifying. And I would have done the same thing. Mm-hmm. Get out.
I like how they decided, like, we better dip out of here. Just not like screaming into the forest.
Well, maybe they were a little bit confident because they were literally surrounded by their guardians, the frogs.
The frogs.
The frogs are like, we got you.
I found it interesting that the frogs jumped into the water. Almost like they don't know the cure, the answer.
Or they're just, you know, they're frogs. Safe.
Yeah.
Maybe they're casually jumping in the water because they know they have nothing to fear.
Could be it. So the next encounter, quote, I'm really surprised I haven't read any Rougarou stories on here. I have two Rougarou stories. One is my own personal story. The other is my stepdad's. Also, I'm not the best storyteller. Apologize in advance. Love that. To preface, the Rougarou is supposedly a mythical creature who seeks out misbehaving children and or Catholics who fail to follow the rules of Lent. Both these stories happen in southern Louisiana, down in the bayou, and in the woods. My story. It gets very hot down here during the summer. So to cool off, many of the residents of my town like to enjoy a boat ride down the river for swimming, fishing, tubing, at various sandbars. My favorite sandbar was 7 to 10 minutes boat ride with maybe 30 feet of sand between the river and the woods and the swamp. My sister, my mom, my stepdad, and myself loaded up in a boat and cruised down to the sandbar for a late afternoon catfishing trip. It was usually slap full of boats and people, but it was just us. As the sun is going down, my stepdad is telling his bayou stories and claims he can summon the Rougarou. Out of curiosity, my sister and I gave him the go-ahead, and he takes a piece of driftwood in each hand and knocks them together twice, making a loud echoing noise. A few seconds go by, and maybe 100 feet in the woods, something knocked back. We noped out of there real quick. I don't think I ever loaded the boat so quickly before. Never tried to knock for the Rougarou again. End quote. So this is the stepdad's quote right now. This is the stepdad's story now. Maybe 10 years ago, he was night fishing, jinglers with one of his buddies. While they waited in the dark for the fish to start nibbling their bait, they started to tell stories about the bayou. While they waited in the dark for the fish to start nibbling on their bait, they started telling bayou stories. The particular bayou they stopped to wade in wasn't wide at all, maybe 25 feet, with the woods and the swamp on either side. So my stepdad tells his buddy that if he hollers for the Rougarou will holler back. And stepdad then let out a large roar. As soon as he finished the call, maybe 10 feet into the woods, the loudest came back at him. He and his buddy left the bayou so quick. They went back to the camp and didn't retrieve their jug lines until the following morning because the proximity of the call was so spooky that they refused to go down that particular bayou. End quote.
The call and response nature is very interesting. Both stories were different, but it was essentially go out, start telling stories. Someone says they can get a reaction. It's like knock,
same
knock.
Same guy says
knock,
he can get
knock.
A reaction.
Yeah, knock, 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 knock. It sounds like he knows somebody out there and sends him a text like, hey, in 10 minutes, listen for this. And I'm about to freak these people out. Then a roar and then a roar. I don't know.
It does seem kind of like that, doesn't it?
I'm joking about the sending a text to somebody out there to freak people out, but it doesn't seem like something you'd want to mess around with and try and attract unless you don't take it seriously. And if they don't take it seriously, it seems like it's not real.
If you did it one time and it happened, why would you ever say you could do it again?
Yeah, it feels not that I'm not judging the entire like folklore on the Rougarou based on this one Reddit story, but this story feels there's like a certain level of arrogance to it on such a unhinged creature. It just seems so random. So yeah, I can attract it. Knock knock.
And yeah,
knock.
It does.
And like the Rougarou is just like, oh, knock knock.
Better answer.
What if you would have knocked 13 times? Rougarou's head would have exploded.
You got that late night booty call where you at text. So one more encounter from Reddit goes like this. Quote, I'm from southern Louisiana. My grandma lived in a little shack in the bayou. One evening when I was 10, she was watching me. My cousin walks over from his house a few miles down the road. He is 20. We're all chatting and having a door open, but the screen door is shut. He said that when he was walking over, he saw a big black dog. He joked and said it was a Rougarou. My granny jumps up and screams, "Ferme la porte." In Cajun French, it means shut the door. My cousin slams the door and asks her what's wrong. She said we should never speak that name. Fast forward 15 years, I'm now 25 and live in Texas. Every year I go and visit my parents for Thanksgiving. My mom and dad live in a house with my two younger brothers in Louisiana. Their house is in the woods by a lake. Recently, my dad had gotten into fitness and goes out night running. One night, I went with him. We were running by the lake when I saw a big black dog. I joke and say, quote, "Look, a Rougarou." I was thinking back to my experience with my cousin and the big black dog. My dad freezes and tells me to turn around now. We book it back home. When he got home, I asked him why he was scared. It was just a dog. And he told me to be quiet, locked the doors, and went to bed. I wake up at 1 in the morning and decide to go outside to smoke. My parents have a screened-in pool. Their house backs up to the woods. I go and sit by the pool and start smoking until I hear it. Branches cracking like something is walking through the woods. I stand up and turn the flashlight on my phone. I didn't see anything. I assume it's a deer. Then I see this big black dog. I walk to the screen door that leads the pool to the backyard, and I saw two eyes staring at me from the woods. It looked like a human because of its height, which was weird because I just saw a dog. I call out, "Hello," with no response. I start backing away towards inside the house, and the thing starts to advance toward me. I back inside and lock the door. The next day, I tell my mom, and she gets upset and said, "Well, your dad told me that you said its name. What did you expect?" I look at her and say, "What, Rougarou?" She throws down the dishes she's doing and says, "Finish these." So I do, and the week progresses, and there are no other incidents. I had no idea my family was so superstitious, but I've yet to speak the name Rougarou around my family since that occasion. I don't know if I saw one, but I believe my parents think that. End quote.
I do like that story. It has a lot of really good elements to it. It's just like, what, Rougarou? And does say, all I said was Rougarou. It's just like, I get it where, you know, maybe he didn't understand the superstitious nature of their family, which I feel like they had to a certain degree. I don't know.
To some extent.
Yeah, but it's just so funny. Say this? I don't know. There's like that. But going out and seeing that, and then I think what would actually scare me more than seeing the dog would be seeing the genuine reaction to someone when you say it. You know what I mean? Because it's like, if you go, and just from like ghost hunting experience, you know, when all of us are being silly, it's not that tense.
Right.
But when one person freezes and they feel something or they see something.
And it's your whole family, right?
Yeah. So that's like when you maybe don't take something super seriously, but just seeing how other people might react to something, I feel like even if you don't buy in or believe it, like that chill runs down your spine where you're like, oh, it just makes it more, it makes it that more real in the moment.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think there's some merit to these stories. Let's talk about it in the discussion.
This is the time of the episode where we like to stop and thank our new patrons as of the recording of this episode. Casey, Katie, Rebel, Boy, and Angela. Thank you so much for joining our Patreon. Now, typically, this is where Tyler would show you around a little bit, but he's on his way home from what I assume to be a very successful family vacation in New Mexico. Really, we hope you had a great time, Tyler. It looked awesome. But in the meantime, allow me to highlight a few things in our Patreon that we are proud of. The first is our quiz that will be coming with the episode. So if you listen this far and you want to go crush the quiz and play along, it'll be waiting for you. And if you want to listen to the quiz beforehand for the next time, for a bit more of a challenge, we'll see how you do then. The next thing I want to highlight is Google Hangouts. We will have one of these very soon this month for our dedicated members. That's where we go on Google, and if you want to come in and talk and have a good time and chat, we'll be available. And we will update the date on that Google Hangout very soon, as soon as we get in touch, because I have not seen Tyler since we've been on vacation. It's been a long couple weeks, but I'm excited for him to come back, for me to come back for a live recording. And that being said, let's finish this episode on the Rougarou.
Okay, so the Rougarou.
The Rougarou.
There are so many dubious things about the Rougarou, which makes me excited to one day do a full-on werewolf episode.
Yeah, we don't do the big things, though.
Like a distorted version of the werewolf. I know I said there's no discernible difference in general, but I do think there is a difference. Because it feels like there's so much mythos behind a Rougarou versus a werewolf.
It feels like a completely different lore. It's like one of those choose your own adventure books or games like Until Dawn, where it's like you choose a different path. Like you might end up at the same outcome, which in this case is very similar to a werewolf. But it's like if you read one of those Reddit stories and then you put that next to a traditional werewolf encounter, like even though the entity being described is somehow similar in nature, kind of like a dogman, I feel like just the vibe, the stories, the feel to it, it just feels different. Like no one, like that, the Rougarou story, like don't say it, you know, and it's creeping in the woods and stuff. Like you don't hear that in a werewolf story.
No, you don't hear the fear of frogs either from a werewolf story either.
No, so I agree. I think the feel to it, it is very much Louisiana, you know?
It's strange. It almost doesn't make sense.
Maybe it's just the Honey Island Swamp Monster.
I wonder. I don't know. I do wonder if there's a connection between all these creatures that are like, at least in my head, like pretty buff.
Yeah.
And also have the head of an animal. Like there's the Dogman, the Rougarou, the... I can't think of the name from Alaska.
Oh, the Kushtika.
Kushtika, the Loveland Frogman. Not really the Loveland Frogman. But Sasquatch, Honey Swamp Island. Like these like monsters that are like humanoid and want to kill you? Question mark. And maybe it's just because, I don't know. I wonder what connection there is. If there is one or if I'm just making that up.
It seems like based on the encounter, and this is purely based on the encounters that we covered, seems like the Rougarou is not as violent as a werewolf. The Rougarou feels more like the Dogman, where it's like if you mess up and you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you could be in trouble. But if you're just passing by, if you're minding your own business, you can kind of get past. Also, the lore behind the Rougarou versus the encounter stories of the Rougarou feels like two completely different things.
It's almost like that meme, right? Like the have you seen the dog meme where it's like this giant monster versus like a golden lab?
Yeah.
It's almost like that.
Yeah, I feel like they're like, frogs and
salt
and the Catholic Church. But then these stories are like, hey, when I knock these two together, I can get it to knock back. And it's like, knock, knock, knock. You know, it just doesn't. And then like the last one, I feel like has the most like superstition behind in the folklore. But even so, like it, I don't know, it feels the count, like without the lore, it actually feels more like a cryptid that you would see.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the lore of it actually makes it less believable.
Which I think is strange. I don't think that often happens. I think that's just comes from so many years of a mishmash of cultures.
Yeah. It's like the counting, the frogs, it knows when you break Lent or whatever. And then, so all of that, which is like helping you describe what a Rougarou is. But then you hear these stories that are grounded in like, I'm outside at night and I see this thing. And it's like, I can feel that. I can buy that. But then when you hear like, put out 13 objects and it's like, that's like,
Yeah, it feels like because, so there's Catholicism, there's native people in the area.
Numerology,
there's voodoo. I feel like all these kind of things come together and make a really distorted version of a werewolf. And we don't know what comes from what and how it gets mixed.
Yeah. Also, the last story, I feel like if that's true, I feel like it dispels the you can become one by making eye contact. Because this
absolutely
stared this thing down.
Absolutely.
Because even was like, oh, it's human height.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It feels like the legend of it versus what's out there. Like, it doesn't mean it's not the same thing because the legends are Like, just because that's what people say doesn't mean that it's true or that it's not out there.
Or it could be people putting a lot of stuff on this
for thing sure
that's already been there.
I buy more into the encounter stories, two of them. Well, yeah, I don't know about the dog, the little white dog, and I don't know about the guy, the uncle that has, you know, he's got him on speed dial,
yeah,
to dance and stuff. But, you know, the last two, what was the second story?
That was the second. The first story was the one where they saw
the dog, they're hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, the hunting one where they're hunting bullfrogs, they hear it and they run away, or they see it. They see it and then they leave. And then the last one, those ones hold the most weight to me.
Even so, I don't give the Ruguru a lot of credit. I give it a skeptical.
If, like, I believe the encounter is more than the stories, and the stories is what this is. So I think there could be something out there, but based on what we covered today, I'm going to go unbelievable. Dude, we're talking about counting? You're talking, like...
I thought you were going to say, you know, I think there's something out there. Maybe this... I'm just surprised when I'm unbelievable. That's okay.
Well, I think there's something out there, but if the Ruguru is this thing that you need to put out things to make it count, and you need to be like blood brothers, or you can make eye contact, and also salt and frogs, like if that is what a Ruguru is,
yeah,
then I can believe that there's things out there in the Louisiana swamps and forests, but if it has to have all of those elements to be considered Ruguru, unbelievable.
I think one version of that might be correct.
Which
maybe,
one?
Maybe biting, maybe like a
salt making it explode.
No, no.
The frogs?
No.
But that, like, that's the, like, I feel like they just kept,
I guess,
it's
I
like
guess
improv. They kept yes anding too much.
You're right. There,
like,
are a
they're
lot
like,
of...
yes, and frogs. Yes, and salt. Yes. Like, it's just too much for me to, like,
I'm. In my mind, I'm thinking a lot like a werewolf. Like, you can transfer the curse through a bite. And yeah. About it.
Now, if that was the, like, but why does it have to be like, I feel like there's even like, I don't know, it's like the half human half, I'm more likely to buy into the idea that there's just this creature out there. Maybe it was never human. I don't, like, from those encounters, other than the fact the last one where he's like, it was kind of my height, other than that detail, what out of any of those encounters, not counting the little white dog, what makes you think it was a half human animal hybrid
at
on
one
a full
point
moon
ever before
on a full moon? Yeah,
I guess, like, that's fair.
And there could be a million encounters out there that are like talking about numerology and stuff like that, but just going off of what we learned today about what a Ruguru is supposedly, and then hearing those encounters.
And that's a good point. I you know what, I think you sway me. I think you go unbelievable.
I wasn't trying to sway you. I was trying to justify myself.
It makes sense though, if it has to have at least one of those elements to prove that it was once a human or something. Just doesn't make sense.
I think it's unbelievable because of the twist that storytellers have put on it. And I want to be clear about that. Like, what people think of a Ruguru, I think physically what they see, that entity could be out there as a creature, but the backstory, that feels too much for me.
I agree. So that was Believing the Bizarre's take on the Ruguru.
I like how you put that disclaimer on it, because don't you just feel in your bones that you're going to get a couple? Well,
that's why I said it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I do feel like, but I also, maybe didn't. I don't know. I did. You know what? I did do it. Just
here's what I'll say. If you are from the area or you have family from the area and you believe vehemently, is that the right way of saying that?
Yeah.
If you believe very much so that this is a real thing. And not just the creature, because I can buy into the creature. I already said that. If you think that the folklore has merit, and maybe certain aspects of the folklore has more merit than some other aspects of it, hit us up. Because if you feel passionately that it's real, and you think parts of that, what, you know, it's folklore, it's myth, what turns someone into a Ruguru, the Catholic part, the counting part.
Maybe I combine things that weren't supposed to be combined.
I don't know.
I have no clue.
Maybe, but we might not be far off. You know what I mean? Maybe a lot of people, like, it could just be like the Loveland Frogman. That's kind of our thing. Like, just because we think it's fun and we want it to be real doesn't necessarily mean, you know,
yeah,
we're like, you know, maybe from the area, you feel like, okay, I always bring sports. If you talk shit on the Cleveland Browns, I'm going to get defensive. But if you say unbiased, Tyler, is it really a well-run organization? I'll say, no, it's terrible, but that's my team. So yeah. I could see someone out there being like, oh, you disrespected the Ruguru. You know what I mean?
But definitely not our intention.
But then take a step back, yeah, and you got to be like, listen, you know. But that's why, if anyone is very passionate out there, I want to hear from a passionate person their take on it.
I'm curious to hear that as well.
Yes. We also like hearing reviews. So if you're listening on Apple, if you're listening on Spotify or any other podcast player, I feel like a new one comes out every other week. If it's possible and it allows you, feel free to leave a 5-star and a rating, a review. Oh man, that's great. Or just hit the 5 stars and go about your day.
That's right. If you feel like you want to get more content and you've heard all the episodes, we do have our Patreon. And if you want to hear these episodes commercial free,
yes, no ads,
starting at our lowest tier, you can get all our episodes without commercials.
Absolutely. And we've mentioned a couple of times, this particular episode is paired with a quiz. Charlie quizzed me and producer Ben on this episode. So if you want to find out how that went, figure out which of these folkloric facts Charlie used in his quiz, head over to Patreon, Bizarros and Dedicated Tier, and check that out. But with that said, thank you everybody so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are. My sister, mom, stepdad, and myself loaded up in the boat and cruised down to the sandbar for a late afternoon catfishing trip. It usually... What?
You said it so fast. You said my sister, mom.
Oh, no.
My sister, mom. My sister.